5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Wendy Bell.
Inspiring solutions to save America.
One show at a time.
Are you ready to get on board?
Many Americans aren't feeling too festive about their bottom lines. Polls showing 78% of voters think the economy is in bad shape, with a lot of the blame falling on the White House.
Bidenomics is working.
I don't know about that. Sounds great, six figures, but once we got married, the taxes that come out of my check before I even get any money, before all of my benefits, $500 come out of my check. That starts off at about $3,000, goes down to $2,200 before I even get to touch it. Our rent's about $1,700, electricity's about $150, phone bill's about $280, internet $60, on food, $400 to $500 a month, but that's increasing. We budget down to the dollar, and sometimes it's very disheartening to work all week and have people tell you, like, oh, you're so lucky, you have a great job, and then you're like, I don't know about that.
Most Americans are a $400 unexpected expense away from bankruptcy.
That's Bidenomics in action. You think I'm kidding? Bidenomics is working.
I don't know about that.
3 hours of bold truth and excellence.
This is the Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Isn't that sobering? Welcome home. Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio Program. Hour number three. You know, don't tell us that what we see is not really what's going on. Don't lie to us and tell us the border is secure. Don't close your eyes and say we don't have a serious drug crisis in this country that was facilitated by feckless Republicans and Democrats who suck. Don't tell us that everything is okay. Don't tell us you're going to spend hundreds and hundreds of billions and trillions of dollars and that nobody is going to see their taxes go up. Don't tell us that you inherited a broken system and that it's Donald Trump's fault, because that's garbage and everybody knows it. Look, this is the significance of the audio sound bites we gave you earlier in the program in hour number two, where we have both CNN and NBC telling the truth out loud, saying everybody knows what's going on and they were better off with Donald Trump. Stop lying to us and telling us that Joe Biden knows where the hell he is. The guy is a space cadet. He has Alzheimer's. He is demented. He is not there. And you insult us by telling us that's the best you've got. It's not the best you have. It's making America worse. And that's the goal. This ridiculous, petty, tit-for-tat nonsense, this ridiculous, childish behavior from our elected leaders and some klutz in New York, this Nate McMurray turd who fancies himself a representative of the 26th Congressional District and says, die, MAGA, die. Will the adults in the room please stand up? Because I'm not so sure we have any anymore. So what do they have to do when Donald Trump, tethered to his Manhattan courtroom by a deranged Trump-hating judge, says, you've got to be in court every single day, sir. You're not allowed to go. You're not allowed to campaign. That's called election interference for anybody who's asleep at the wheel. That's exactly what that is. Sanctioned by the Biden administration. That's who these people are. So what does Donald Trump do? This is where the meritocracy survives and excels. He thinks outside the box. He comes up with a workaround. Well, you know what? We're in Manhattan. What do you guys say for, why not? We'll go to Harlem. We'll go to that bodega where a deranged Alvin Bragg thought it was prudent to take a store clerk who defended his business and his life from a thug with bad intent, and killed that man before he could be killed. That man was thrown in prison, the bodega clerk. Donald Trump makes a decided stop there. And people in Harlem show up. And they're giddy. Joe Biden tries to copy it. It's not Joe Biden, it's his handlers. It's whomever the morons are running his department, right? His reelection campaign sucks. we're going to do this, Mr. President. We're going to swing through your home state of Pennsylvania, which is my state. It's insulting. We're going to try to create the same illusion that you connect with people, even though you don't know where you are. And nobody cares about you. You represent snarling a business. All the Secret Service running around. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to walk in. Nobody's going to give a fat rip about you with this sheets. And then you're going to walk into the back and you're going to pretend like you're down with the people who are working, creating all of the sandwiches. Nobody cared. It sucked. It flopped. Everybody made fun of it. Sleepy Joe swinging through with sheets. Ticking everybody off. I was at Sheetz multiple times this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not from Pennsylvania or anywhere where there's a Sheetz, you want to see American exceptionalism in action? I could care less how the people who own Sheetz vote. I'll go with probably Democrat. They know how to run a business. Be on a major spot on the turnpike, right? Open up a giant university that sells everything you could possibly want, including made-to-order fresh food. Go to a kiosk so you don't have to talk to anybody. Boopity boop, 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 boop. Pay with your credit cards. Zzz, they call your number. Out you go, back on the road. Done. Success. Unfortunately, Joe Biden didn't really get the play he wanted there. Seems that way because now the Biden administration is suing Sheetz. For what, you say? Did they put bad stuff in their food? No. Did they give people bad gas? No. No, they didn't do that either. Apparently, the people who run Sheetz, who own Sheetz, got this wild hair. They're like, you know what? If we're going to have like a bunch of people working in our stores, we need to make sure they're on the up and up. Let's make sure these people are good, honest people, and they haven't been convicted of crimes. Let's do a background check. You know how the federal government did a check on every single person within 60 miles of the freaking Capitol on January 6th. And then one went with geo-tracking and all that jazz and hunted them down. That's kind of what Sheetz was doing, but preemptively. Let's make sure we're not hiring the wrong people to run our cash register. Okay? Sounds like a good idea. How dare you? Says the Biden administration. Headline postmillennial.com. Biden administration sues Sheetz over discriminatory hiring practices just days after botched photo op at Pennsylvania gas station. Yeah, the Biden campaign was hoping that people would be all like, oh my gosh, it's Joe Biden. And instead people were like, oh God, I just wanted to get a freaking sub. Can you hurry up? Didn't really have the same gusto that Trump's Harlem visit had. So here's your story. On Thursday, Joe Biden's Equal Employment Opportunity Commission revealed they had filed a lawsuit against the Sheetz convenience store and gas station chain, alleging that its hiring practices disproportionately screened out Black, Native American, Alaska Native, and multiracial applicants. Do we have anything else that we should be working on? I'm going to go with like everything else. Not to Joe Biden and his folks. This comes only days after the president, Joe Biden, made a disastrous campaign stop at a Sheetz in Pennsylvania. In a press release, the EEOC said that the chain's longstanding practice of using criminal conviction records to screen and deny applicants was a violation of Title VII's prohibition on disparate impact discrimination. So if you run a business and you'd prefer not to have people who've, I don't know, been convicted of crimes working behind your register, and that person who's convicted is a Black person or a Native American, or, I don't know, an Alaska Native, well, you're racist? What are you doing? It was so stupid. Our CBS station in Pittsburgh picked up the story. We've isolated 30 seconds or so of the lunacy, just so you know how your Biden administration is focused on things that don't matter to the rest of us. Go.
Sheetz is being sued over its hiring practices. The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission filed the suit this morning. It claims that the way Sheetz bases employment on criminal records disproportionately screens out Black, Native American, and other multiracial applicants, and that this violates federal law. The suit does not accuse Sheetz of being motivated by race when making hiring decisions. We have reached out to Sheetz for comment, but so far we have not heard back.
We're not going to say that it's motivated by race. We're just going to tell you that we want to gum up your works and we're going to make things suck for you. We're going to make things as inconvenient for you as possible. We're going to gum up the works and bog you down in all sorts of useless paperwork and litigation the same way we have with 91 criminal counts against Donald Trump, 4 indictments. Bring it! It's like every single January 6th defendant has 67 charges against them. And they're like, well, wait a minute. I walked through the Capitol and I said a prayer and then I walked out. Oh, outrageous! A threat to democracy. Put him in jail! Do you guys want 4 more years of that? You want 4 more years of insane? And by the way, Sheetz is a chain of nearly 600 convenience stores operating in 6 states. Highly successful business model that works, and it works because it's consistent. It's not consistently racist. It's consistent. And I wonder, since Joe Biden didn't get the play he wanted at Sheetz, where I'm sure they were like, can't he go across to the Quick Trip? Right? This is where we are. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, my friends, you know, it's a shocker alert. Another BLM grifter who's been found guilty of what? Oh, that's right, stealing everybody's money because BLM is only about a grift. You gotta love this. I got it for you next. Don't go anywhere. I know many of you out there watching or listening to this program right now, you are in the same boat I was. We've got this big wave of action. Everybody seems to get sucked up into the wave, whatever the wave is, whether the wave is a virus, whether the wave is activism. That's how you can chuck this stuff up, the Palestinian, pro-Palestinian stuff on college campuses. People who do not think critically, who do not do their own research, who are not educated, are sucked into this riptide almost of public opinion. And they take comfort in being fringe together with other wacky people who almost always support something that sucks for the rest of us. Everything that had to do with COVID was control, manipulation, money laundering, and just filthy, filthy power grabbing. Ugh. It was never about you. It was never about your wellness. It was never about the safety of people. It was a grift. Black Lives Matter, a grift. We're going to capitalize on this sentiment right now. We're going to take a guy, George Floyd, who is not a good guy, right? And we're going to use him as the poster child, who's not a good representation of the Black community, period. And we're going to elevate him. We're going to give him a gold coffin. We're going to have Al Sharpton fly hither and yon, create the illusion that this is something that's really, really, really important, right? And then Black Lives Matter is going to grift off of it. Black Lives Matter is a communist front for something that's a money laundering organization that never helped Black lives. And if you're a Black American, where's your payday? What's the local BLM chapter in your community doing with their spoils? Are you feeling the benefit? I'm not. And so those of us who weren't sucked up in the tidal wave, and that not even the tidal wave, the riptide, if you will, get sucked into it. We were looking from the shore going, what's going on with everybody? Why is everybody doing the same thing and saying the same stuff? Where is everybody's critical thinking? It's gone when you're in the suck. And so when Target came out and they're like, proud $10 million sponsors to Black Lives Matter, and Levi's and Anheuser-Busch and Procter & Gamble and every single company out there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're going to give money to something that has no business model, that does nothing for anybody ever has. We're not going to ask for any receipts. We're not going to ask for anything, but we are going to on our website. Put up something that says, proud givers to Black Lives Matter. Don't burn our stores down, rioters and looters and mobs. That's what it was. Ooh, don't touch us. We gave to BLM. Patrice Cullors isn't the only multimillionaire. There's some other turd who apparently has now been found guilty of fraud, stealing $450,000. BLM is almost like the Ukraine grift, isn't it? Isn't it all so gross? Might be different beneficiaries, but it's all predicated on some emotional thing that isn't really definable or winnable. How are you going to litigate how people treat other people vis-a-vis their race? You can't. How are you going to help Ukraine win the war by giving them money? You're not. It's not going to change matters. But here we have on the Gateway Pundit yet another Black Lives Matter activist found guilty of sucking off the teat of money laundering, of the grift. Yet another Black Lives Matter activist convicted of defrauding donors out of hundreds of thousands of dollars. In a press release on Thursday, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Ohio confirmed that Sir Major Page, 35 years old of Toledo, was convicted of wire fraud and three counts of money laundering following a six-day trial. The release stated, according to court documents and testimony, and this is a while ago, Page created a Facebook page for Black Lives Matter of Greater Atlanta and registered the organization as a domestic nonprofit with the Georgia Secretary of State Corporate Division. The IRS approved his request, granting his BLM chapter tax-exempt status. Easy to do, apparently. But the whole thing dissolved a couple years later. This dude, Page, nonetheless, accepted donations after falsely portraying his Black Lives Matter Georgia organization to the public as a legitimate charity engaged in social justice work, when in fact it was not. And instead, he used the money that individual donors gave not for social justice causes. What? We're so surprised. He enriched himself. He bought a house and furniture. Also committed money laundering crimes when he bought these items with the donations that he fraudulently obtained. It's all so, so predictable. It's what our government is doing. This is what every vote. $60 billion more for Ukraine! Yay! Say the Democrats waving Ukrainian flags. They're the grifters on a national scale. This fella's just the local chapter guy. Money laundering suck. Brought to you by Pfizer. Isn't that what we're all about, friends? When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, with the clock running out, friends, the Biden administration broadens Title IX to include a new victim class, transgenders. Wait for it next. I will go back to a question, and I mean this sincerely. I'm not, as Joe Biden would say, and that's not hyperbole. I don't even think he knows what that means. Did you hear him say when he was at the Sheets, before they sued the Sheets? He said, don't jump to somebody. I was like, gosh, it's so sad. They're parading him around like he's cognizant, like he's aware of anything. It's just, it's elder abuse. This is what we're doing. I ask seriously, give me one thing. Give me one thing that the Democrats have done while in office that has been beneficial to these United States. Give me one. Because I don't have it. Everything they touch sucks. Every effect. This story I have to tell you about right now, Title IX. So Title IX, 1972. I was 2 years old when Title IX came out. And it was really designed as an open door to girls to receive quality education. And it changed over time. And it involved sports, and it involved equal opportunity to be able to play. And by the way, before we get lost and wander off the reservation of Title IX, if it wasn't for male sports like football, there would be no female sports. Because the male sports fund the female sports. We're all connected, don't you see? And your Biden administration wants to take Title IX, and they want to molest it in their own way, which is gross. They want to take it and make it worse. How is that possible? Well, I found this on MagnoliaTribune.com. Never seen this website in my life. But it was a very interesting take on what the Biden administration wants to do to fiddle with girls, with women's opportunities to achieve, to compete, to dream and to be. And to allow men to now change the language to allow transgender, quote-unquote, women, so dudes pretending that they're women, is not just insulting, it's obnoxious. And every single girl and every single parent of a daughter, in fact, every single freaking parent, I don't have daughters. I wish I did. You should be pushing back against this. I want to give you the headline. Biden administration broadens Title IX to include sexual orientation and gender identity. Why do we have to get lost in the weeds of all of this stuff? Because the goal is to inconvenience the many to benefit the few. To take everything that we took for granted before because it just was normal, and to twist it and to make everything uncomfortable. To slow you down, to jack up every cost of everything that you do, to literally break you and bring you to your knees so that your only recourse is waving the white flag of surrender. Well, we will never surrender. This just fuels the fire. So here's what Biden's administration wants to do. And it's not Joe. He's eating chocolate ice cream somewhere in his dreams. Who knows what he's doing? This isn't him. This is the wacky socialist, communist, progressive, Marxist suck that you get when you allow a Democrat and rhino Republicans to basically steal America. Title IX originally intended to give women an equal playing field in educational attainment, particularly at public schools and at institutions of higher learning that receive federal financial aid. The 1972 law sought to give equal opportunity to women, including providing access to sports programs and other previously male-dominated spaces. And it's been working. But it's never about equal on the left. It's always about extra. We want more. However, presidential administrations supportive of the LGBTQ movement have used Title IX to expand protections and access for people who identify as lesbian, gay, or transgender. One of the things that's interesting about Title IX is how, with its original goals, how fully it succeeded, more so than any other civil rights law, said some professor of American politics at Boston College, telling the New York Times. And suddenly, the focus changed from what were the opportunities within the educational institutions to how are we going to change how people think about sex, gender, and generally how we're going to undo stereotypes. You cannot legislate behavior. People who are going to be racist are going to be racist whether or not you make racism a law, an outlaw, right? You're not allowed to do that. That's actionable. It's not going to change people's behavior. Stop trying to even the playing field. It's not about equal opportunity. They want an equal outcome. They want all of us making the same amount of money. They want all of us doing the same kind of things. They want us all driving those stupid electric vehicles everywhere, attached to a grid that they control. So when you step out of line, they can say, huh, interesting. Bzzzt. No transportation for you. That's what this is. On Friday, the Biden administration took additional steps to end that. The U.S. Department of Education has issued its final rule update. And let's just talk about the jack wagons in charge of the Department of Education, right? Miguel Cardona? Really? This dude is the best and the brightest of what we've got? Or does he check the requisite boxes? Do you want the guy who's in charge of education in this country to be a meh, eh? Are you super bright? Are you really off the charts? You're like, meh, I did fine. Really? U.S. Department of Education has issued its final rule update to Title IX, broadening the law to prohibit discrimination based on sex stereotypes, sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex characteristics. Do you guys remember when our kids just went to school and they did what they did, and the girls went into their locker room and the boys did their thing, and they did their stuff, and that was that? And nobody was really ensconced in, ooh, did you hear so-and-so was gay? Or, oh my gosh, so-and-so is wearing a feather boa and a G-string to school today. I wonder if they're trans. Nobody cared. How do we get back to that? How do you get the genie back in the bottle? Especially when it's all of the people in charge who are the ones pulling the cork out. The new rule also requires schools to respond promptly to all complaints of sex discrimination with a fair, transparent, and reliable process that includes trained, unbiased decision makers to evaluate all relevant and not otherwise impermissible evidence. That's a lot of legal mumbo jumbo for we should be educating your children, right? We should make Columbia University safe for all people, particularly those who are being discriminated against by pro-Palestinian protesters. Do you guys hear about the woman from Yale who got stabbed in the eye? Because she's Jewish? And you want to get lost in the weeds and, well, I mean, so-and-so. I mean, I know he looks like a dude, but I promise. He shaves his legs and he looks great in a leotard. Not what I want to hear as a parent. Get out of the pool, ladies. They've effectively destroyed the gift of being female. They've made a mockery out of it. The ability that is solely ours, the honor, the gift to bring life into this world, to be the nuance in our family, the glue that holds every thread of crazy together. They let men dress up in garish costumes to mock us. They allow boys who are 11 or 12. This is going on in West Virginia right now with a boy who wants everybody to think his name is Becky. It's a boy. To compete against girls and throw shot put. Like, what? And if you're like, you know, I'm no expert, but that's jacked up. You're a hater? You're the problem? You're the issue? Where are the adults? Where are the adults in the room? There's a reason why I say that's today's theme. That's the title of today's show. Because Crazy Town comes to an end when enough people are unwilling to participate. Already, you have a dramatically plummeting applicant pool trying to get into colleges and universities in this country. Why ever would that be? Because what do you see? You see activism. You see liberal outrage. You see such a disparity of people teaching in not just elementary, middle, and high school, but at the collegiate level. A disparity of liberals to conservatives. Remember the day that nobody cared what your politics were because they had no place at school? Any more than the church? Should not be a place of sexual deviance Remember the good old days where you would go out with friends and you didn't talk about those taboo, verboten subjects? Sex, money, religion, and politics? You have a government administration that isn't done ruining every slice of normal in this country. And they want to finish the job. Really? When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, got to talk about this Baltimore mayor. He's giving the Chicago mayor a run and Denver's mayor a run for their money. What he just decided that is overtly racist. But because he's black, he can get away with it? What? Let's go there next. All right, so before I give you this Baltimore mayor ridiculosity, it's important for you to hear how the Biden administration is threatening schools. We're going to change Title IX so that boys who think they're girls can invade women's locker rooms, girls' bathrooms, can invade sports, can compete against them, can beat them, can steal their titles, their dreams, their scholarships, their prize money, any of it. We're gonna do that. And you've got to get behind us, because if you don't, this is going to be the result. Listen to Tulsi Gabbard drop this bomb about the Biden administration fiddling with Title IX to benefit basically LGBTQ plus trans individuals. They're the same. Go ahead.
So on the 50th anniversary of Title IX, the Biden administration backdoored a rule change through the Department of Education that added gender identity to Title IX, which is resulting in more and more men and boys taking opportunities away from women and girls. And if that wasn't bad enough, the stick that they attached to it was telling schools, if you don't follow this rule, we will remove your funding for what's called free and reduced lunch. Federal government says, unless you allow biological boys to compete against girls on their team, we're going to take away your free and reduced lunch funding. How sick is that?
It's literally crazy.
You're taking food out of the mouths of kids whose families are least able to afford it in order to force these schools to comply with this insane and destructive policy that actually hurts women and girls.
I say do it. Look, if I was a principal, if I was an administrator of a school district, I'd be like, do it. You've got to be the adult in the room. And then when the school lunch goes away and everybody's like, what happened? We don't get lunch. We don't get breakfast. They feed them every meal of the day and food on the weekends, for heaven's sakes. All dries up unless you subscribe to our LGBTQ cult agenda. Well, when parents found out or find out, how do you think they're going to feel about the administration that launched such an endeavor? I say bring it. But everybody's so mealy-mouthed and timid. Ooh, we don't want to do that. No, do that. No, do that. Let's go ahead. Let's play. You want to play? Game on. I'm ready to go. You explain to all of the parents why their kids don't get federally funded meals, considering our taxes, out the wazoo taxes, go to paying all these salaries. I want to tell you quickly about this guy, Brandon Scott. He's Baltimore mayor. According to this Gateway Pundit article, it says he's racist. Well, you decide. He announces millions in black-only arts funding. Black-only. Can you imagine if we did white-only broadcasting? Look, we're good, but we're only good with white people. Okay? White Catholics. That's all I care about. Everybody else can suck it. Can you imagine this guy gets away with this? No, he doesn't. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott says too much money goes to white-run arts groups. So instead, he's giving $3.6 million in city-directed funds, that's called taxpayer money, to blacks-only art groups. You guys cool with that? It seems to be kind of status quo right now. Mayor Scott announced last week that white-ran businesses. That was in quotes, white ran businesses. Folks, we're not getting the best of the best. That's all I can tell you. Not getting the best of the best out there. The white-ran businesses were for too long getting public dollars. He's going to divert COVID funds. He's going to divert COVID funds to non-white businesses. I have this weird, I don't know, fiscally responsible idea. Why don't we take the COVID funds, which were stupid and a grift anyway, giant money laundering operation, which didn't do anything to keep us safe, healthy, protected, right? Educated, informed, zero. Why don't we give the unused money and give it back to the American people who are getting killed on a daily basis, fiscally, because of Democrats who suck? Well, let's hear a little bit more about this. For too long, public dollars have simply just gone to the big names and the big players in town, Mayor Scott said. And dare I say, I know my staff is going to hate this, the big names and big players in town that just happen to be white-ran organizations in Baltimore. Not only is Baltimore's mayor clearly giving away funds in an illegal way, discriminating against all other races in how he gives out taxpayer money, he's also wrong about there being white-run arts museums in his own city, including for art museums he sits on the board of. So Scott is awarding the Diversity in Arts grants, funded by federal COVID-19 relief dollars. Capital grants recipients include the National Great Blacks in Wax Museum and the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African American History and Culture. It is a grift. It is a grift meant to bleed you of money, shame you to your knees, scare you into silence, and rewrite America's story. That's what it is. How is this guy any different than the Black Lives Matter grifter convicted of money laundering and wire fraud? He's not. It's all the same game. And as long as you wince and recoil at that R word, racist, look, friends, if everything's racist, nothing is. And that's where we've come to that point. Will the adults in the room please rise? Because America needs you now more than ever. Great to be with you guys. Thanks for joining us. If you're new, I expect you back here tomorrow. Until then, peace.